Jim Packard in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and happy to have you along with us this morning as we talk about intercity passenger rail service, Milwaukee to Madison. What are the chances that some like this will be built? Here in studios, reporter Lexi Clinton and reporter and executive director Andy Hall of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, a partner of Wisconsin Public Radio, among others. And you can find out what they do at wisconsinwatch.org. Lexi and Andy, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning.
You've
been in the process of breaking stories, and this is another story that indicates how close we are or how far away we are from a form of high-speed rail. Andy, what prompted you to do this?
Well, we got into this story, Jim, actually starting back in the spring. Lexi was among the students in Professor Deborah Blum's investigative reporting class here at UW-Madison, and then she was hired to work as an intern this summer, working for the Investigative Journalism Center. And Lexi and her colleagues in the class first, and now her colleagues at the Investigative Center, began digging in to these issues regarding the proposed high-speed rail stimulus project. This, of course, would be one of the largest stimulus projects in the state of Wisconsin, something around $500 million, maybe $600 billion. And Lexi and her colleagues have found that there are some substantial gaps at this point in the state's plan.
Lexi, what has this been like for you as a reporter?
This has been a great experience. Just taking the reins and looking into one of the largest stimulus projects is something that a lot of media don't have time to do, but at the Center for Investigative Journalism at wisconsinwatch.org, we really had time to spend months looking into this and finding the gaps that do exist.
Mm-hmm. The state's largest proposed stimulus project, if they said building the high-speed rail line from Madison to Milwaukee, is moving forward as the state files for federal money later this month. It's a controversial plan, one divided along party lines. And will the railway save the state money? Will it save the environment? Will people use it? Are some of the questions that they have been asking. This would reach from downtown Milwaukee's Amtrak station to the Dane County Regional Airport, and Wisconsin Department of Transportation officials say the state hopes to get something around $600 million in the stimulus money for the project, which would also include improvements to existing service between Chicago and Milwaukee. One of the things that you wonder is the state seems to be ready to do this as opposed to other states, but where do we stand, Andy, as far as you can tell, in terms of the pecking order for this money?
Well, according to the sources so far, Wisconsin is toward the front of the line. There does seem to be a very good chance that Wisconsin will receive some money in this first round of funding, and if not now, certainly within a year. So everybody's proceeding here with the idea that something is going to happen. Then the questions, I think, then begin to focus on, okay, if something is going to happen, are we ready for it?
Mm-hmm. It's been about 40 years or so since we've had passenger rail service in the state, other than Columbus to Minneapolis, I believe. And I wondered if there's an estimate of how many passengers would use the system. Do we even know how many people travel back and forth between Milwaukee and Madison?
Sure. The state says they haven't estimated how many people would use a Milwaukee to Madison line. We looked at some census data that tracks where people live and then where they work. And we found out that about 1,300 people live in Madison or Milwaukee and travel that full commute during the day. Then there's about 132,000 that travel within those counties along the line, you know, through Watertown or Oconomowoc.
Mm-hmm. But so far, they've not made any prediction about how many people.
Not that they've told us. They don't have anything on paper saying that yet.
If you'd like to join the conversation, we have lines open for you. If you have comments about intercity passenger rail service and the need for it or the lack of need for it, give us a call at 800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. And we also pose the question of whether or not high-speed rail is necessary in Wisconsin at our community of listeners. Go to wpr.org, and you'll be able to get on board and answer that question. Several people have already posted their response, and most of them have said no, there is not a need for this. Are you surprised by that, Andy?
Well, you know, these are tough economic times. Everybody's looking, very closely at their household budgets, and the state, of course, just completed some difficult negotiations trying to work out some shortfalls in the state budget. So, no, I'm not surprised that there's skepticism about this out there, and it's reflective of what you're seeing across the country. I think increasingly, as the stimulus money starts heading towards states, people are wondering in some cases, are these plans really fully baked? Are they going to do the good things that have been promised regarding job creation and economic development?
As we talk with Lexi Clinton and Andy Hall of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, a partner with Wisconsin Public Radio, talk a little bit about the Wisconsin Center and the partnerships you've been able to develop, Andy.
Sure. We launched the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism this January. I left my job as a reporter at the Wisconsin State Journal, where I had worked for 18 years. And the center is a nonprofit, independent organization based here at UW-Madison. We have offices in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication, and then we have permanent partnerships with Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television. In addition to that, we collaborate with for-profit, mainstream, and ethnic and niche media organizations throughout the state, looking into issues regarding public integrity as well as quality of life issues.
One of the things that I was curious about is how the officials in the various cities where stops are planned are feeling about this project. Why don't you run through that, Lexi?
Sure. We talked to officials in Watertown, Oconomowoc, and Brookfield, and overwhelmingly, the mayors are very enthusiastic to see a project like this come to their cities. They talk about creating a rail stop that could create shops and restaurants in the area, and it could really boost their local economies. Some say they haven't gotten full details from the state, and we've seen that those communities are at different steps in this whole process.
Mm-hmm. Now, we can talk a little bit more about Madison and its situation, but let's take some calls, and we'll start off with Dick in Janesville. Dick, what's on your mind today?
Well, I'm very much a supporter of rail transportation, and living in Janesville, we're kind of a hub. I would look forward to the day that we get connected to that, too. But it seems to me a key part of any rail system, once the passenger gets to Madison, Milwaukee, or wherever, then what do they do? So associated with it is the vital importance of local transportation, so they don't have to get a car when they get to their destination. And I wonder how much of a problem that is currently.
Thank you for the call, Dick. You've already jumped into one of the main issues that we explore in the report at WisconsinWatch.org, and that is the fact that the train in Madison stops 6 miles from downtown under the existing plan out at the Dane County Regional Airport. And Lexi found in her interviews that at this point there is no firm plan for how those people might then get from the Dane County Airport to downtown Madison, to the university, to the Capitol, to the kind of destinations that people would normally have when coming from downtown Milwaukee. I think on the other end of it, in Milwaukee, people are overall fairly comfortable with the idea that it's at the Amtrak station, located right downtown, a pretty solid transportation
mm-hmm.
hub. But yeah, it's this is a major issue, and there's not an easy way out of it, because the transportation officials say that if they were to run this train downtown, first of all, it would mean adding at least half an hour to the trip. Second of all, it would throw into doubt, I guess, the eligibility for this to remain on the fast track in the stimulus funding, because that sort of a plan isn't as shovel-ready as this one is.
Lexi, DOT had included money for a downtown stop at one point, and then it was pulled out, as I understand.
Sure. In their plans that I'm sure they just kind of shuffle around the office, they talked about what would it cost if we brought a train to downtown Madison. And they told us that would probably be almost $14 million to do that. But they are not including that, they tell us, in mm-hmm. their official plan.
So right now it still plans to end at the Dane County
yes.
Regional Airport. And I guess we'll take it from there. Thanks, Dick, very much for your call. Let's see if we can get Adam in Madison before the news. Hello, Adam.
Hi, good afternoon. Just wanted to comment. I recently moved to Madison from Rochester, New York. I was surprised there was no rail service in Madison. I had heard it was a rather progressive, forward-thinking place. I'm glad to hear that something is going to be provided, but I guess I'm echoing the first caller's thing in that Rochester had a high-speed ferry project installed between Rochester and Toronto, which ultimately failed and was a big loss to the city because persons without cars arrived on the ferry, but then they had no way to get to the downtown center. There was no light rail or anything like that, and the project ended up becoming a rather big loss. So I just want to echo, it's very important. Person without a car needs to get downtown.
Adam, thanks very much for your observation there. One of the things that you have to deal with is that what do people do when they get out at the airport? Do they have to take a cab downtown? Will there be bus service provided there?
It could be commuter rail.
And it could be commuter rail. I guess we'll talk about those prospects after we look at the latest news, because there's also that thought that a high-speed, or rather a local transportation system running to Middleton, let's say, has been in the works for a long time, too. I don't know where the money's going to come for that, but people are thinking and planning for it, especially the Dane County Executive. We'll take a look at the latest news and come back, and we'll talk about intercity passenger rail service, Milwaukee to Madison. Will the railway save the state any money? Will it save the environment in any way? Will people use the system? Our guests are reporter Lexi Clinton and reporter and executive director Andy Hall of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. It is a partner with Wisconsin Public Radio, and you can find out what they do and see several stories about their report on high-speed rail at wisconsinwatch.org. I'm Jim Packard. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good afternoon. I'm Jim Packard, sitting in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We continue to talk about the possibility of intercity passenger rail service between Milwaukee and Madison. Lexi Clinton is a reporter. Andy Hall is a reporter and executive director at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, a partner of Wisconsin Public Radio. And they put out several stories in the last 48 hours about the state's largest proposed stimulus project, building a high-speed rail line from Madison to Milwaukee. Andy and Lexi, again, thank you very much for coming in and talking about this project.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here, Jim.
Assuming that that this is built, what did you find out about the need for continuing subsidy in the years following? Lexi?
Sure. Secretary Busalaki told us that it would cost at least $15 million a year on Wisconsin taxpayers to maintain the line.
$15 million a year?
Yes.
And before that, had you heard this before, or had other people been talking about the subsidy?
I had not until I'd asked him directly, and he said at least $15 million.
Mm-hmm. So for taxpayers around the state, this is a fairly significant project, and it also has the possibility of a lot of funding that has to go on afterward. Andy?
That's correct. And we quote an expert in the coverage, Rick Geddes, a Cornell University professor who studies transportation policy around the country, and you know, he just makes the point that regions and local governments need to carefully weigh as they're building their transportation plans the costs and benefits of the various decisions. And one of the reasons we did this particular project was just to make sure that as the state moves forward and as Madison, you know, maybe for the first time in four decades, revives a passenger rail connection, that we're thinking through all these pieces, and do we realize that we'd be making a long-term, pretty permanent commitment here to an operating subsidy that would be borne by all taxpayers around the state, whether they live along the line or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take some calls. We've got a line open if you'd like to get a question answered at 800-642-1234. And let's go to Kathy in Highland next. Hello, Kathy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead.
I am on my 99th trip to Madison for health care, and I drive to Milwaukee fairly often for health care, and my dream would be to sit back and take the train for this trip. I live in southwest Wisconsin, and it takes me about an hour and a half to get to Madison, and where I go to Milwaukee for health care is about a 2.5 to 3 hour trip. And have you ever thought of having a terminus at maybe UW-Madison for health care at the hospital, or maybe at the Medical College of Wisconsin as a place to drop people off instead of the airport?
Well, certainly, this is exactly the type of decision, Kathy, that local transportation planners are wrestling with. And you know, one of the issues is where do people try to head? And we quote in the coverage a critic of rail, Eileen Breskowitz, who's a member of a local transportation policy board, who raises the idea that right now people have this flexibility to travel around on vehicles with rubber tires. Maybe rail isn't the best destination type of transportation, given the fact that sometimes people are trying to do, as you are, and head over to health care facilities at UW, but lots of other people are heading to the Capitol, or they're heading to Camp Randall for sporting events, or other places in downtown. So there isn't an easy way to do it. And then, of course, you run into the issues of securing right-of-way, dealing with the traffic congestion that can result as you build in new rail corridors and back people up, that sort of thing. So it's a complicated puzzle.
Well, I do like the idea of the airport. My husband and I fly out of there very frequently, so that would be another dream. And have you thought of extending the rail out towards southwest Wisconsin, like maybe to Dubuque?
I'm sure that some people have looked at that. That's not something we went into in this particular package of stories. But you run into the population density issues, and there are some people who even doubt that if the rail goes between the two largest cities in Wisconsin, that you'd have enough passengers. So the smaller the populations you're dealing with, the larger the possibility that you might end up with needing more larger subsidies.
Kathy, thank you very much for the questions and the call. 800-642-1234 is the number for you. Are we really talking about high-speed rail in this situation? What are these trains expected to travel at?
Sure. When the trains start running, which DOT says will probably be by 2013, they're only going to be running up to 79 miles per hour and probably an average of 70, which would not fall under the high-speed classification. And they'll only get up to high-speed 2 years after being in service. So by 2015, we might be talking about high speed.
Mm-hmm. And again, though, you think about the tracks that exist between Milwaukee and Madison. Are they capable of carrying this kind of load at that speed, according to the experts?
I'm not sure about that, but it seems so, yes.
Mm-hmm. With some safety improvements, I think, is what we're hearing. And that's what could take as long as 2015 to implement. So, there's going to be some time period here where the trains are really going, about the same speed that people are driving at.
Now, I understand that the governor has announced a partnership with a Spanish train company to make the cars. Can you talk about that?
Sure. The partnership was announced on Friday with the Talgo Train Company in Spain. He announced that two trains would be bought by the state for $47 million for the existing Amtrak line between Milwaukee and Chicago. But Governor Doyle also said that same company would be used to buy the trains for the Madison-Milwaukee route should we get the stimulus money.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones to Ray in Delafield. Hello, Ray.
Hello. I thank you for the show. I think this calling it high speed at 70 miles an hour is not the way to go. Milwaukee to Minneapolis would probably be a fine high-speed shot, but for Milwaukee to Madison and then a detour from Portage down, you'd probably drive it faster from most spots.
Mm-hmm.
Second, I think what should be done is just a monorail between Milwaukee and Madison. Go right down the middle of I-94. Build something modern.
Andy, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, I've been to Disney World. I love the monorails there, so I don't know how well do they do in snow.
Well, that's engineering things, and that can be addressed.
Yeah.
Now, there is, you know, I think the questions we're receiving here do give us a glimpse into the fact that there are many dreams and visions out there, you know, and all of this is happening because President Obama came in with this dream and vision for at least $8 billion in stimulus money for high-speed rail around the country right now, and maybe $5 billion or so more in the near future to be scattered around the country. So, you know, this is the time to be asking these questions and floating these ideas. And in the early hours here after we've released our report, we've seen a lot of interest in this coverage. And
talk about some of the publications that have picked up your stories.
Yeah, sure. We're hearing a lot of interest from places ranging from Portage to Janesville to La Crosse to Sun Prairie and wispolitics.com. Lots of people have come to our site through a link that was placed there yesterday, and in every place, and in Green Bay, every place the issue is different. In some areas, like Sun Prairie, they're worried that now maybe the commuter line, if there is one built in Dane County, won't go to Sun Prairie. Maybe it's going to go, if there's a commuter rail line built, maybe it's going to just go to the Dane County Airport.
Which would be closer than in Madison.
Yes, but
it's not in Sun Prairie,
right? And if these lines, if they don't come close to your house, you may view it more as something that's going to be expensive that you're not going to use a lot. And in some communities, like Green Bay, feel that you know, they've got a fairly large population center, and they feel often that they're slighted, that they're not included when these plans are drawn up.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Ray, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate hearing from you. Han in Madison is next. Hello.
Hi. My husband and I have loved going to Minneapolis and St. Paul and Milwaukee and Chicago, but we're getting older, and going on the train is a really attractive option. This would be business that they might not otherwise get from people like us. We were sitting in bed the other morning reading the Sunday New York Times and saw a description of an opera in St. Paul and said, we can do that. And by 5 o'clock, we were on the train in Columbus on our way along the wonderful Mississippi River, got to St. Paul, got in a taxi, moderately priced trip, 20 minutes to the St. Paul Hotel, went across the little park for to the opera the next morning or next afternoon. And we were back on the train at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we were home almost in time for lunch. It was a fabulous trip. Oh, by the way, I love what these two people are doing. I worry about not having investigative reporters, so thank goodness for them.
All right. Han, thank you. And again, Lexi Clinton and Andy Hall are guests. Lexi's a reporter for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Andy Hall is a reporter and the executive director of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. You can see these stories and others that they have launched recently at wisconsinwatch.org. A recent U.S. Government Accountability Office report concluded that rail projects would have little impact on the congestion, environmental, energy, and other issues that face the U.S. transportation system. That's a rather harsh assessment for Wisconsin trying to get some stimulus money to build this Milwaukee to Madison corridor.
Sure. And I think a lot of the DOT officials do say that trains really would clean up the environment. But what they've also admitted is that there's not a lot of evidence to support that. And I think that that GAO report kind of speaks to that. We don't know how many cars it would take off the road or how much CO2 it would reduce, and that's one of the issues. We don't have estimates or answers on that.
What would power this vehicle, this train?
I believe so far the discussions have centered on using existing Amtrak engines, which I believe run on diesel.
Yeah, diesel.
Mm-hmm.
So it would just draw on the existing locomotion, but then as Lexi mentioned earlier, the cars themselves might be these sleek cars produced by Talgo, the company from Spain.
We're talking with Andy Hall and Lexi Clinton about the Intercity Passenger Rail Service stimulus project, in which the state hopes to receive between $500 and $600 million in stimulus money for the project, which would reach the rail line from downtown Milwaukee's Amtrak station to the Dane County Regional Airport and include improvements to existing service between Chicago and Milwaukee. And when do you think that the application will go in?
Sure. The application will go in August 24th, so at the end of the summer. And from what I've heard, we should hear a decision back sometime in the fall.
Who makes the decision? Who gets to review this and decide where Wisconsin or this might rank in terms of these kinds of projects?
It's the Federal Railroad Administration. They look at it, some of their experts, and then some U.S. Department of Transportation experts look at it as well. Some outside people, they get it. But the ultimate decision is made by the FRA administrator.
Okay. Dave in Reedstown, let's go to you next. Hi, Dave.
Hi, thanks. I would contend that there's plenty of money in our treasuries to build mass transit and provide a lot of jobs and stuff, but our priorities are screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
We have all the money in the world to spend on illegal imperialist wars overseas. My representative, Ron Kind, in La Crosse, has rubber-stamped all the spending for all the military, but he introduces no bills or supports any kind of mass transit. In the last 10 years, we've gone backwards here in western Wisconsin. We used to have a Greyhound bus on Highway 14, and they gave it up, and then the Jefferson Line took it over, and they've now given it up. And it wouldn't take much to subsidize something like that so the working people can travel around, but our priorities are messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for that observation. Is that something that you hear frequently, Dave?
Well, yeah, certainly the points that Dave's raising about what the proper priorities are, that's at the heart of all this. If there is going to be a pot of money, how is it going to be split? And, you know, should it perhaps go in some cases to do as he suggests, to revive some of these long-abandoned bus lines out in small communities? So far, I think the emphasis is more on building things to create more jobs and to fund some of these more expensive infrastructures rather than than fund operations. But that's... that's what we've got those great elected politicians in Washington is to make those decisions, and then it's up to us, I guess, to watch and see what they decide and weigh in as the callers are doing this morning.
And Kirk in Oconomowoc is next. Hi, Kirk.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
I'm on a cell phone, so I'll try and keep it short. Yeah. My experience has been a rider, both on the East Coast, Conrail, Amtrak, over in Europe. Lived in Japan for 3 years, Shinkansen. Just wanted to put a strong vote for...
A strong vote for passenger rail, I assume, before your signal was lost, which is the bane of cell phone here. So if you'd like to call back, why, maybe we can squeeze you in before 12:30. Let's go to Tom then in Madison and see what's on his mind. Hi, Tom.
Hi there. I'm currently driving down 94 going into Milwaukee, and bumper to bumper, there's one person per vehicle, and I think it's ridiculous that we are, you know, traveling in this type of, you know, one person per vehicle using up all this fuel, and we're so dependent on the fuel. But my comment is that, is there any forethought or future thinking in regards to possibly having electronic car hubs or rental hubs and so on that people can go to these places at the end of their rail and rent a vehicle such as that and, you know, go on and come back and, you know, be free to travel around where they please.
It's an interesting question.
Well, certainly there's planning underway for each of these stops. You know, what will people do when they get there? As we were talking about earlier, will they go to shops and restaurants along some of the stops between Madison and Milwaukee, as the leaders of those communities hope? Will they need a taxi? Would they be interested in renting a car? You know, these are some of the plans that need to be made. But at this point, I don't believe or are aware of the planning going to that level of detail for any of these stops.
Lexi, is there a point in which cost of driving becomes a really strong factor? Right now, gas at $2.35 or whatever it is doesn't encourage people to get out of their cars. Did you find in your reporting studies anything about that?
In relation to how much it would cost to ride the train instead?
Yes.
Sure. I think that the ticket prices for the Madison-Milwaukee were estimated about $40 for a trip.
Yeah, round trip, I think.
Yeah. But with how fuel-efficient cars are right now, I think it's different for each driver how much it costs them to get between those two cities.
Mm-hmm. And if you're sitting in traffic and you're crawling along at 5 to 10 miles an hour, attractive alternative would be some rail passenger service, it sounds like.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Alan in Milwaukee next. Hello, Alan.
Hello. This relates to the positioning of the Madison Station, distant from anywhere in particular.
Yes.
I used to visit my daughter in Illinois, and I would, if I got the 6:20 Amtrak train, I could get a Pace bus that, in a few minutes afterwards, that got me nicely to her house. If I took the 8 o'clock train, I missed the bus by 5 minutes and had to wait an hour and a half. I wrote to Pace and said, why don't you cooperate with Amtrak, advertise that you have buses, the 210 bus, which connects at Glenview, to the whole of Northwest Chicago. And they replied to me, there's no way we can cooperate with Amtrak. And that was the end of the discussion. And it seems to me there's very little idea of cooperation between different groups for this kind of thing. Because I thought that was a good idea, and they wouldn't hear it. They said, we cannot cooperate between Amtrak and Pace. And I wonder what the situation will be with Madison City Transport for your Madison station.
Well, that's a good question, and certainly something we'll be watching at the Investigative Center. And check us out on WisconsinWatch.org, and we'll tell you what we find.
We can say, Alan, that some people have tried to put money into the stimulus package for a Madison stop, nearly $14 million, 13.8, I believe it is, and for the downtown Madison rail connection, but it's been pulled out in this package. And I think what you've hit on one of the reasons is that if we go down there, the time of the trip becomes 30 minutes at least, and it also may not qualify then as high-speed rail.
Exactly. And, you know, the emphasis right now is the federal government wants to fund the, quote, shovel-ready projects. And so if you dip back in and start putting together intricate new plans and requesting environmental impact statements, you miss out on this current pot of money. So the state officials at this point are determined to go ahead with this plan and then work out some of the details later.
Alan, thank you so much for the call. I'm sorry that we can't get to all of the calls, but we know that this is a very hot topic among our listeners, and we certainly will come back and explore it again. We want to thank Andy Hall, who is a reporter and executive director, and reporter Lexi Clinton of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, which happens to be a partner with Wisconsin Public Radio and Television, and is housed downstairs here in Vilas Hall. You can see what they do at Wisconsin.com. MadisonWatch.org. Find out more of the stories that they've broken recently, including the governor's travel expense story and the proposed stimulus project for high-speed rail from Madison to Milwaukee. And if you'd like a CD of the program, you go to the radio store at 1-800-747-7444 and get it there. And our thanks again, Lexi and Andy, for being here today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
And coming up tomorrow at 11, Phil Pelletieri, UW-Madison professor of entomology, will take us on a journey through the insect kingdom, including the two least favorite insects, which happen to be earwigs and the Japanese beetle. So more about that coming up tomorrow here on the show. Thanks for listening. I'm Jim Packard. This is the Ideas Network.